والله سبحانه وتعالى حتى يبين عجز الإنسان، يعني الإنسان كل ما زاد ملكه كل ما زادت حاجته. اليوم أنا أملك مزرعة فمحتاج إلى عدد من العمال وشيء من المعدات وشيء من البذور، وإذا صارت مزرعتين زادت الحاجة للعمال وزادت الحاجة للمعدات وزادت، فكل ما زاد ملك الإنسان كل ما زادت حاجته.
He gives an example that how in need is man. That for instance, if a person has one farm, then he has to have certain amount of workers, certain amount of seeds, certain amount of machine, etc., in order to run his farm. And if he happens to get into, if he gets another farm, then he will have to get more workers, he will have to get more means, more machinery, etc. So this shows that the more a person owns, a person acquires, as far as insan is concerned, this person is more in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he becomes more in need.
الله سبحانه وتعالى يملك الإنسان صور الأشياء ليس حقائق. الله سبحانه وتعالى يملك مجازا ليس حقيقة. الله سبحانه وتعالى يقص لنا قصة في صورة القلم، هؤلاء الذين كان أبوهم عنده مزرعة فكان يقوم في حقها، فكان الله سبحانه وتعالى يبارك فيها. حينما مات ورثوه هؤلاء الأبناء، هؤلاء الأبناء ظنوا أن هذا ملكهم، هم يتصرفون فيه كيف يشاءون. فالله سبحانه وتعالى يقص لنا هذه القصة، يقول سبحانه وتعالى فغدوا على حرد قادرين. في البداية أن لا يدخلن اليوم عليكم مسكين، وغدوا على حرد قادرين فلما رأوها قالوا إنا لضالون، بعدين تأكدوا قالوا بل نحن. الله سبحانه هؤلاء يظنوا أنهم ملكهم، يريدوا يتصرفوا في كيف يشاءون، ما يعطي أحد يعطوا أحد منها شيء. كان المحصول جاهز للتوزيع، ذهبوا حتى يوزعوا فيما بينهم، لكن حينما ذهبوا وجدوها قد احترقت، لما رأوها قالوا إنا لضالون. هكذا الله سبحانه وتعالى يملك الصور الأشياء، وهو لا يملك الحقائق سبحانه وتعالى.
He says that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us in this world, this is just an apparent ownership. In actual fact, we are not the owners of whatever we acquire, whatever we have in this world, we are not the actual owners. The actual owner is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us ownership, but just on the surface level. The actual owner is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he gives an example in Surah Noon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives an example of a group of people, of brothers. We find that their father was a very pious individual, and he owned a garden, an orchard. And from that orchard, he used to provide for the poor, etc. And it happened such that when the father passed on, so amongst the children, they decided that we are not going to allow any miskin, any poor person, we are not going to give anything in charity. Before they come, we are going to harvest this crop and we are going to distribute these crops amongst ourselves. So we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before they could come and harvest these crops, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala burnt it completely. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a punishment, and in this way all the crops were destroyed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of this in the Quran al-Kareem, that eventually when they saw what was happening, they said, "Inna ladhallun, bal nahnu mahrumun," that definitely we were on the wrong track. Now we have been completely deprived of all of this. Eventually they made tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we can understand that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us is not ours in actual reality. It is the sole ownership of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got ultimate control over everything.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يملكنا كل ما ملكنا هو نعم وكذلك هو أمانات. كل ما ملكنا هو أمانات في أيدينا. إذا نقوم بمراد الله سبحانه وتعالى فيما ملكنا، الله سبحانه وتعالى يبارك لنا فيما ملكنا. وإذا احنا نظن أنه هذا ملكنا، الله يعذبنا بهذا الذي ملكنا.
So whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, whatever bounties Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, whatever Allah ta'ala has given us, we find that this is also a trust from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an amanat in our hands. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see how we utilize this. Do we utilize this in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or do we utilize this in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If we utilize this in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us in it. On the other hand, if we utilize it in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we do not fulfill the rights with regards to this, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make this a means of our punishment.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala حتى يختبرنا في هذه الأموات أعطانا هذا العمر القصير. سبحانه وتعالى يقول الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. هنا في هذه الآية الله سبحانه وتعالى بدأ بالموت ثم ثنى بالحياة. المعتاد عندنا الحياة ثم يأتي الموت، لكن الله سبحانه وتعالى بدأ بالموت ثم سنى بالحياة، لأن الإنسان ما يموت إلا في هذه الدنيا، أول مرحلة من مراحل الإنسان الدنيا، يموت في الدنيا ثم تبدأ الحياة بعد دخولنا تحت التراب.
So we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this amana, which is our lives. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made mention of this in the Quran al-Kareem, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us life and death in order to test us, that who from amongst you are the best in doing good actions and deeds. Normally, what comes first, life and then death. But we find that here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of death first and thereafter life. Why? Because death is a reality. We have to face death. We have to live this life, and we are going to leave this world. After we live this life, we are going to leave this world, and we have to answer before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, this is a reality that each and every one of us has to face.
الدنيا هي سبب لحقيقة الحياة. الله سبحانه وتعالى أعطانا 60-70 سنة. أول مرحلة بعد خروجنا من الدنيا مرحلة القبر. كم الإنسان يظل في قبره من لحظة خروجه من الدنيا إلى يوم القيامة؟ 200-300-400. فالله سبحانه وتعالى أعطاني 60-70 سنة حتى أشتري بها سعادتي في مدة إقامتي في قبري. إذا انتهت مدة إقامتنا في قبورنا ننتقل إلى الحشر. واحد يوم طوله 50,000 سنة، والله سبحانه وتعالى أعطاني 60-70 سنة حتى أشتري بها سعادتي في 50,000 سنة.
So this dunya that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in this world, it is a means of acquiring our success in the hereafter. So we find that now, compare the life of this world, which is 60-70 years, and compare it to the life in the grave. We don't know that we are going to remain in the grave until the day of Qiyamah. How many years? 200, 300, 400 years? We don't know what is the amount of years that we are going to remain in our graves until the day of Qiyamah. And then look at the day of Qiyamah itself, where we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention that the day of Qiyamah, one day is equal to 50,000 years. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the short life, 60-70 years, how we can purchase and how we can acquire the everlasting happiness of the grave as well as the hereafter.
الله سبحانه وتعالى في هذه الآية يقول ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. هذا مقصود وجودنا في الدنيا، الذي خلق الموت والحياة والذي خلق الدنيا والآخرة، المقصود ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. أحسن عملا هذه معي في كل المراحل القادمة يوم القيامة. الناس في العرق على قدر حسن أعمالهم، إلى العرق إلى كعبيه إلى ركبتيه إلى حجزته، هناك من يلجمه العرق الجامد، هناك أناس متكئين على كسبان المسك تحت عرش الرحمن، وهناك ناس على منابر من لؤلؤ يمين عرش الرحمن. فأنا من هذه الدنيا على قدر ما أحسن العمل، على قدر ما أختار لنفسي المرتبة التي أريد أقضيها في 50,000 سنة.
So this life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in this world, which is of 60-70 years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us life, Allah ta'ala has given us, we are going to die one day, we are going to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. According to how we are in this world, accordingly we will succeed in the hereafter, or we will fail in the hereafter. It is mentioned in hadith something to this effect, that some people will be drowning in their own perspiration, some up to the ankle, some up to the knees, some up to the waist, and some they will be drowning completely in their own perspiration. So this is the condition of some individuals. On the other hand, there will be certain people who will be on minbars of nur, they will be on mounds of musk, on the right hand side of the arush of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, this is dependent on a person's amal and actions in this world. According to the actions that a person does in this world, accordingly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will treat him in the hereafter.
ثم تأتي مرحلة الصراط. الصراط يقال 3,000 سنة. أدق من الشعرة واحد من السيف في ظلمة شديدة. نور الإنسان وسرعة الإنسان على قدر حسن عمله. هناك من يمر مثل البرق، وهناك مثل الريح، وهناك مثل الخير المضمر، وهناك من يجري، وهناك من يمشي، ومن هناك من يحبو ومكردس في النار على قدر حسن العمل على قدر سرعة الإنسان.
Then we find that there is a pul sirat, the bridge over Jahannam into Jannah, which is 500 years. So we find that this, according to a person's actions in this world, accordingly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a person reach the other side. We find that some people they will be able to pass the bridge of sirat as fast as the speed of lightning. Some as fast as a fast horse. Some will be running, some will be walking, and some will be crawling, and there will be others that will eventually fall into the fire of Jahannam. So this will depend on a person's actions in this world. According to a person's action in this world, that is how a person is going to fare on the day of Qiyamah, as well as on the bridge of Sirat over Jahannam.
ونور الإنسان كذلك على الصراط على قدر حسن عمله. ذكر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هناك ناس نورهم من البصرة إلى اليمن ويتضاءل النور حتى ما يضيع له قدر أصبعه.
So depending on his actions in this world, accordingly will a person's nur be on the day of Qiyamah. So according to some, their nur and their light will be from Basra? From Basra to Yemen. From Iraq to Yemen, according to some individuals, this will be their light. And according to others, their nur will be only to the extent of a finger.
لذلك المقصد وجودنا في الدنيا كيف يكون همنا تحصيل أحسن العمل هذا الأحسن الله سبحانه وتعالى خلقه بالطبع فينا نحب الأحسن لكن صرفنا وقتنا لتحصيل الأحسن في الأشياء أحسن بيت وأحسن لباس وأحسن سيارة وأحسن جوال هذا الأحسن ليس له قيمة عند الله سبحانه وتعالى الله سبحانه وتعالى يريد مني أحسن عمل كيف يكون عندي أحسن ذكر وكيف يكون عندي أحسن صلاة وكيف يكون عندي أحسن ما يريد الله سبحانه وتعالى.
So we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is our objective and purpose in this world? So that how we can do good actions, righteous actions, how we can do actions which are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says that in this verse, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. We are told that we are going to be tested with regards to who of you are going to be doing righteous actions and the best of actions. So he says it's in the nature of man to do good and to want good and to do everything in an excellent manner, in a proper manner and to want the best. But unfortunately, our efforts are being directed in the wrong direction. We want the best of clothes, we want the best of cars, we want the best of houses, we want the best of phones. So these things do not have any value, any qeemah in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other hand, we find that what has qeemah and what has value in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is our dhikr, it is our salah, it is our sawm, it is our ibadah, it is our tawajjuh to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are things which have value in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and each and every individual should be making effort that how he can beautify and how he can rectify and make these things the best in his life.
وأحسن عمل يعني أحسن ما يوفق الإنسان لأحسن العمل هو الدعوة إلى الله. الله سبحانه وتعالى يطلب منا أحسن العمل ثم يقول سبحانه وتعالى ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى وعمل صالحا. دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا. على قدر ما إنسان يصرف وقته للتعريف بالله والتعريف الناس بالله والدار الآخرة على قدر ما الله سبحانه وتعالى يجعل هذا سبب
So we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of this in the Quran al-Kareem, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ, that whose actions can be best. The best speech in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that person who calls towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who does good actions. So that person who invites towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to the extent that he invites towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he introduces people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to rectify his actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to rectify his deeds. Allah ta'ala will rectify his life in this world.
هذا الأحسن الذي يحبه الله سبحانه وتعالى. لذلك في سورة ياسين هذا الرجل الذي جاء حتى يعني يقال أنه حبيب النجار هذا هي مجرد كلمات لكن حتى الله سبحانه وتعالى قال رجل ما ذكر لا اسمه ولا عرفنا عنه شيء من قبل ولا شيء من بعد الله سبحانه وتعالى خلد ذكره بسبب هذه الكلمات التي قالها حتى يبين لنا الله سبحانه وتعالى كم هو يحب هذا العمل هذه الكلمات من هذا الرجل خلدت ذكره في أعظم كتاب على وجه الأرض خلد ذكر هذا الرجل بسبب هذه الكلمات هكذا الله سبحانه وتعالى يبين كم هو يحب هذا العمل الدعوة له سبحانه وتعالى.
So this inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is loved in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is appreciated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to such an extent that we are well aware with regards to Surah Yasin and the incident which is mentioned in Surah Yasin, where there was an individual who was invited towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. His entire nation rejected the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, but he was one individual who had accepted the message of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. And thereafter he invited his people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and because of which his people killed him. So we find that this individual, we generally in tafsir we understand his name is Habib al-Najjar, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not mention him by name in the Quran al-Kareem. He is just mentioned by the name of Rajul, a man. What happened, what was his condition and his situation before? We are unaware. What happened after? The details, we are unaware. But basically, because of his inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and calling people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sacrifice that he gave, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciated this so much that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept this and made mention of this in the Quran al-Kareem. The best of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's books and kitab and kalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept this mention of this individual right until the day of Qiyamah.
هكذا الله سبحانه وتعالى يجعل هذا العمل سبب لتخليد ذكر الإنسان لأنه الإنسان بدون الدعوة حينما يموت تقفل صحيفة عمله إلا الذي يكون له يعني نشاط في الدعوة الله سبحانه وتعالى وفقه وكان سبب لهداية فلان وفلان، كل هذه أعمالهم تكون في صحيفته بإذن الله، وهو في قبره تأتي إليه أعماله.
So how will a person leave behind a legacy? How will a person be able to be remembered forever? It is by means of this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep him in the minds of people forever because of his inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person in this world, he did actions for himself and then he left this world, as soon as he leaves this world, now his book of deeds have come to an end. But if a person was inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he brought others closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then inshallah this will continue for him right up to the day of Qiyamah.
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يرغبنا في هذا، يقول يوم في سبيل الله كألف يوم فيما سواه من المنازل.
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, in order to encourage us and give us ترغيب and exhort us towards sacrificing for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions that one day that a person gives in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is better than 1,000 other days.
وفي قصة عبد الله بن رواحة رضي الله عنه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يبين لنا هذا بالتفصيل، حينما شكل الجيش جعفر زيد وجعفر وعبد الله، تأخر عبد الله، خرج الجيش في فجر يوم الجمعة وتأخر عبد الله، ورآه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي الجمعة معه، ما سأل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما أخرك يا عبد الله؟ قال يا رسول الله حببت أن أجمع معك ثم أنا عندي خير. قال أتدري بكم سبقوك؟ قال بنصف نهار. قال بل سبقوك ب500 عام. ماذا أخر عبد الله؟ الذي أخر أنه يصلي مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم الجمعة في المسجد النبوي خلف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، يعني أخر عمل عظيم جدا. لكن هذا العمل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يبين له أنه هذا ليس شيء أمام هذه الخطوات. الجيش الذي مشى كم قطع، ما وصل ولا حارب ولا هي، كثير من الجيش كان مشاة، يعني ما عندهم ركوبة، فكانوا مشاة. كم مشوا من المدينة؟ مشوا 20-25 كيلو من الفجر إلى الظهر. هذه الخطوات عند الله سبحانه وتعالى أغلى من هذا العمل الذي جلس من أجله عبد الله. لذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لو أنفقت ما في الأرض جميعا ما بلغت غدوته.
So we find that the incident of Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala anhu on the occasion of Muta. So on the occasion of Muta, we find that Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made tashkil and he had prepared an army. Amongst the army, Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu anhu, he was also asked to go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then there was also Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Jafar radiallahu ta'ala anhu as well. So the army had gone and we find that Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu anhu, he stayed behind. And he thought to himself that I've got a fast horse. It was the day of Jumu'ah. I will remain with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after the Salatul Jumu'ah, then I will meet up with the army. So he says that eventually when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, Abdullah ibn Rawaha, what's the matter? How come you did not go with the army? So he mentioned that I've got a fast horse and I plan to stay and read Salah behind you. And after this, I will join the army. And so he explains and he says the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded to him and told him that do you know because of their going before you how far they have gone ahead. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that they are gone 500 years ahead of you in Jannah, that they will enter 500 years ahead of you. So he says that let us think for a while that majority of the army were on foot, right? They did not have any camels or horses. So how far could they have gone? 25 kilometers, 30 kilometers at most. And that is half day's journey. They couldn't have traveled much. Imagine that. It was just few steps in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was no fighting that had taken place. Nothing much. But they had just gone out. But because of him delaying, because of him tearing behind, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned with regards to him that لو أنفقت ما في الأرض جميعا, that if you had to spend everything on the face of this earth, you wouldn't have reached the reward of these people who have gone out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and their steps that they have taken out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
لذلك يبين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كم قيمة هذا العمل, كم هو قيمة الخروج والخطوات في سبيل الله, في سبيل الله. لذلك الله بنياكم هذا الله سبحانه وتعالى من علينا بهذا العمل العظيم في هذا الوقت. لذلك كيف نستغل أوقاتنا؟ الله سبحانه وتعالى أعطانا الوقت القصير 60-70 سنة, كم نصرف من أجل الدنيا وكم نصرف من أجل الآخرة. الله سبحانه وتعالى جعل الدنيا بالنسبة للآخرة لا تساوي شيء, لكن كم نحن نصرف من أجل الدنيا وكم نصرف من أجل الآخرة. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أعطانا هذا, يعني ختمت النبوة بسيد الخلق عليه الصلاة والسلام, والله سبحانه وتعالى أعطانا هذا الشرف. شرف تحمل مسؤولية الدين وشرف إيصال هذا الخير للغير. فكم نحن إذا على قدر ما نعطي على قدر الله سبحانه وتعالى يجعل هذا سبب لسعادتنا في الدنيا ورفعتنا في الآخرة بإذن الله.
So according to the sacrifice that we will give, according Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us. We find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this work of da'wah and tabligh, inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How we can give preference to our akhirah over our dunya. He says that how much time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us and how much time are we spending for dunya in comparison to akhirah. So let us utilize what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By means of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us that sharaf and that honor.
الصحابة رضي الله عنهم حينما جاء أمر الهجرة تركوا مكة، أحب شيء إلى قلوبهم مكة، ويحق لهم هذا البلد العظيم وهم ولدوا فيه، أحب شيء في قلوبهم مكة. وجاء الأمر بالهجرة، والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الرواية قال إنه إن والله إنك لأحب البقاع إلي، لكن الله سبحانه وتعالى أمر بترك هذا ليش؟ بترك هذا المحبوب من أجل إيش؟ من أجل رضاه ومن أجل نشر دين الله سبحانه وتعالى. فهم تركوا محبوبهم، تركوا محبوبهم بدون الرجع، تركوا مكة بدون الرجع. نحن لا نترك بدون الرجع، الله سبحانه وتعالى يعلم ضعفنا، فقط نخرج خليل نشكل أنفسنا 4 شهور أقل شيء حتى الله سبحانه وتعالى يجعل هذا سبب لرفعتنا وسبب لحشرنا معهم بإذن الله تعالى.
We know and we are well aware with regards to the hijrah and the migration of the Sahaba رضي الله تعالى عنهم. They migrated from Makkah مكرمة to Medina Munawwara. When the command had come, they were told to migrate. They were told to go without coming back. They had to sacrifice. Imagine how beloved Makkah Mukarramah was to them. We find they were rightful to have love for Makkah Mukarramah, the greatest city on the face of this earth, Makkah Mukarramah. But we find that despite this, the command had come that they must go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, when he had to migrate, what did he mention? That you are the most beloved of lands to me. That despite this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also made hijrah from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Munawwara. So in a similar manner, he says that if we have to sacrifice and go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are not being asked to sacrifice and go without returning. Sahaba radiallahu anhum were not allowed, those who made hijrah from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Munawwarah, they were not allowed to come back to Makkah Mukarramah and stay in Makkah Mukarramah and make Makkah Mukarramah their homeland. On the other hand, we, if we are going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 40 days, 4 months, for whatever time, at least we can come back home. We know that we are going to come back home. But by us sacrificing for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this will be a means of elevating our status, and inshallah this will be a means of gaining our success in the hereafter.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala قادر يكون يعني ينتشر الدين من مكة، لكن الله سبحانه وتعالى يحب هذا، يحب ترك المحبوب من أجل دينه سبحانه وتعالى. إذا إحنا نترك محبوبنا ونترك بيوتنا ونترك شوية أولادنا لوقت قصير من أجل دين الله سبحانه وتعالى، كم الله سبحانه وتعالى يعطينا هو ما يحب، فنخرج نشكل أنفسنا إن شاء الله ونخرج في سبيل الله.
He says if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished and wanted, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have allowed deen to spread from Makkah Mukarramah. But why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this hijrah come about? It was so that now each and every person can leave those things that are beloved to him. His wife, his family, his house, his belongings. So when a person sacrifices these things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make this a means of hidayah. So therefore now it's time for tashkil inshallah. Who from amongst us inshallah are ready inshallah to give and sacrifice for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First tashkil is 4 months, 40 days. The ijtima is around the corner. So inshallah let us give intention. Zakaria.
تقبل يا رب الله، تقبل يا رب، تقبل الله، تقبل الله.
After the exception,
inshallah.
Allah kabul, inshallah.
Allah kabul, inshallah. Nigeria. Jamaat getting ready for Nigeria 40 days from the Ishtima, also Jamaat local, inshallah, from our masjid. Dr. Zab says it's by Salman, must stand up. Hafiz Salman, inshallah. Hafiz Salman, Salaji. Nilazi, good. 14, inshallah. Allah Kabul, inshallah. Allah Kabul, inshallah. Jibal, mashallah. Give our name, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one that does. Do not put any conditions in front. Allah is the creator of all conditions. Allah will sort out all our issues and all our affairs, inshallah. We put our names forward, inshallah, and leave the rest in Allah's hands. What we can do, we do. We stand up and give our names immediately. The malaika instructed to write that a person did a good action. So why must we deprive ourselves? Every one of us is from stand up. By standing up, Allah is writing a good deed for us. Father Ibrahim Jabir, inshallah, Chullah, from Ishtima, inshallah, Nigeria, inshallah, Naisab, inshallah, who else, mashallah, Allah Kabul, inshallah. Jamaat has traveled so far, my respected elders and brothers, come from Madinah Sharif to come and make our tashkil. To stand up and give our name, inshallah, honor our guests.
They left 50,000 reward for Salah in Madinah Munawwarah to come over here.
MashaAllah. Coming in the heart, inshallah. Brother Zaid, inshallah. Allah Kabul, Allah accept, inshallah. Zaid, 40 days from the Ishtima, inshallah. Nigeria, Allah Ta'ala make it easy. Allah remove all obstacles, inshallah. Khas dua, inshallah, for our brother.
Ya Rabbi Allah, Allah is the
Qadr. He was, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala, inshallah, we say, from us. Mawlana Talha, mashallah. Mawlana Talha, sahab.
Allah Kabul, inshallah.
40 days, inshallah. Amin, inshallah. MashaAllah. Ameen, ameen, ameen. Who else, inshallah? By Ibrahim, inshallah, Allah will open the way for you, inshallah. Ibrahim will have the lady also, inshallah.
Allah accept,
inshallah. Take it, inshallah. Jibreel. Any other tashkil?
No, Jama'at Masturat, no, Jama'at Masturat.
Is there Masturat Jama'at, inshallah, tomorrow will be programs?
From 10.
You know the way.
Inshallah, the program, I think tomorrow morning will be from 10 to 12, and then the afternoon from 3 to, from half past 2 to 4 o'clock, inshallah. So we request, inshallah, the brothers to send the women folk to the residence of Hafiz Hussain Sadri, number 2, Linen Place, inshallah.
Also, brother, mashallah, Ashival has been given the takaza for the Ijtima. On Monday, inshallah, will be a security. The roster is out. That's tomorrow from 6 p.m. in the evening till 6 a.m. on Tuesday morning. So the roster is out, inshallah. Many names have already come. So this hirasa, this duty, mashallah, that I, that will look after the property of the Muslim, will never see Jahannam. So inshallah, we all try and make this near to come there. We'll give our time and invite others as well. Also, brothers of Ishtima 8, 9, and 10, let us see, inshallah, each and every one of us can get ready to come out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if not for Chilla. For at least 10 days, 3 days in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also make near to how we can come out in Masturat as well with our women folk. The Jamaat has come and making khas tashkil, and how inshallah our ladies can spend time in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all of us make intention, inshallah. Allah ta'ala accept, inshallah. There are many duties that have been allocated for Ashwal. We're coming to this Ishtima, how inshallah we can make Majma Jor, how we can look after this Majma that is coming, and how everyone can benefit, inshallah. We'll all do this. Allah accept, inshallah. And every one of us to sleep in Ishtima, in our central zone tent, inshallah, and to mix with the people, make ikhtilat. These are the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They left their home, some of them coming from very far. So sleep with them, inshallah, make ikhtilat, make ikram of these people. Allah ta'ala, we don't know whose heart Allah ta'ala will change, and all of them, people will come to us, inshallah. We all make intent to sleep in Ishtima for the 2 days, inshallah. Allah accept, inshallah.
غدًا يكون لنا اليوم الأخير هنا إن شاء الله من نريد الجماعة نقدا إن شاء الله تشكل جماعة نقدا بالمستورات بإذن الله تعالى.
إن شاء الله. The Jamaat is going to be here tomorrow as well. They're only leaving Ashraf on Tuesday morning.
So they request that before they leave, they want to take for a cast jamaat, masturat, men and women, the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah, we should try to prepare ourselves for that.
Inshallah ta'ala. اللهم لا إله إلا أنت يا ودود يا ودود يا ذا العرش المجيد يا فعال لما يريد يا رب الأرباب ويا مجري السحاب ويا مسبب الأسباب يا سامع كل نجوى وكاشف كل بلوى ومنتهى كل شكوى يا عليم يا حليم يا علي يا عظيم يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا حي يا قيوم اللهم لك الحمد حتى ترضى ولك الحمد إذا رضيت ولك الحمد بعد الرضا اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك ورسولك سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. اللهم نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى ونعوذ بك اللهم من عذاب القبر وعذاب النار وفتنة المحيا والممات. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها زكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها مولاها. اللهم نسألك إيمانا كاملا ويقينا صادقا وراحة عند الموت ومغفرة ورحمة بعد الموت. اللهم اجعل حبك جل جلالك وحب نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أحب إلينا مما سواهما. اللهم احينا على سنته ومتنا على ملته واحشرنا تحت لوائه وفي زمرته. نعوذ بك اللهم من قلب لا يخشع ونفس لا تشبع وعلم لا ينفع ودعوة لا يستجاب لها. اللهم اهدنا لأحسن الأخلاق والأعمال لا يهدي لأحسنها إلا أنت واصرف عنا سيئها لا يصرف عنا سيئها إلا أنت. اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق طهر أعيننا من الخيانة طهر ألسنتنا من الكذب. اللهم ارزقنا الإخلاص اللهم ارزقنا الإخلاص اللهم ارزقنا الإخلاص. اللهم أخرجنا وأخرجهم في سبيلك واستخدمنا واستخدمها واستخدمهم لخدمة دينك في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها يا رب العالمين. اللهم ارزقنا القبول. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين. الحمد لله.